Been preaching on prayer. And the reason why I want to take a little more time, I usually have a choir come sing or something, but I want to take a little more time this morning, this last service, going to preach on prayer. And I think that's the most lacking thing in Christians' lives, is prayer life. And the Bible tells us pray without ceasing. And I told you last week, you can pray on your knees. You can put your hands in the air, look up to heaven. You can get in a closet. The Bible says get in a closet and pray. Anywhere, anytime. Peter was walking on the water, and he said, Lord, help. And the Lord reached out and grabbed him. And the shortest prayer, Lord, help. Lord, help. And you're going to get in this life, and young couples getting married and all that stuff. And my heart breaks for them. I got three daughters married. I got my son Samson's married. And now Samson called me up the other night. He said he just wanted me to tell stories to the kids. He had his own speakerphone. And wanted me to tell stories to the kids, things that happened in our life and all that stuff, and how we prayed and how God answered prayers. And we're trying to pass that down to the children's children, like the Bible says. And you need to pass things down. You need to have some victories in prayer, and you need to have those victories so you can pass them down to your children. I always said, I've never met a successful Christian that didn't pray, that didn't seek God. And most of the time, I've run into Christians that, their lives are all just tore up, messed up, and all that is because of lack of prayer, a lack of prayer. And I've said last week, I was telling you about when I went to Tabernacle Baptist Church down in Greenville, South Carolina, they had a prayer room where when I got to the prayer room, it sounded like a fight going on. And there was men in there praying. And I remember I used to sit in there and listen to the prayer. After I finished praying, and everybody prayed out loud at the same time. It almost sounded like a charismatic tongue meeting or something. But the charismatic tongue meeting ain't nothing compared what they were doing. And I mean, they were praying. Every man was focused on praying and praying out loud. And it sounded like a big battle going on. And I remember I would pull up a chair. I learned as a young preacher boy, I remember I pulled up a chair and I'd sit there, and I took Samson in there, and I would sit there and listen to the guys praying and listen. And I wanted to learn how to pray, and I got around them old saints of God. And I would get around them old saints and learn how to pray. And I took Samson in there and try to teach him to pray. We always try to teach the kids to pray. You ought to teach your children to pray. Teach your grandchildren to pray. Mark and Sheila was just telling me the other night their granddaughter wanted to pray and wants to pray all the time now. And it just starts, you know, praying. And that's a blessing, man. You never want to stop them. I told them about Bob Gray. Bob Gray had six children. Bob Gray was down in Florida, and he had six children, and he taught them all how to pray. And at night, they would get down, and they would go through their prayers, and they would all start at the youngest all the way up to the oldest. And so they went to get ice cream in a white ice cream shop one night, and Bob Gray has all his kids. He only had all six daughters, and he was praying for a boy, and he didn't get to answer that prayer until the end. He got a boy. And so they had seven children. And so Bob Gray said he got in an ice cream place, and the people put the ice cream in front of him, and he said, I made the worst mistake of my life. He said, I looked down at our youngest daughter and said, why don't you pray, honey? And he said, and then the kids went in sequence. He said, and they went like we were at our beside the bed praying. He said, youngest daughter went through everything, all the prayer, all her prayer, mommy, daddy, grandpa, grandma, and the church, and she went through everything. And he said, 45 minutes later, when the oldest finished praying, their ice cream was melted all over the counter, and he looked around. People had come in to the ice cream store, and they all stood there. They saw people praying. They just bowed their heads. And he said, for 45 minutes, everybody in the whole place didn't move. They just sat there and had their heads down while these children were praying. And I'm going to tell you something. If God's going to hear a prayer, he's going to hear your kids. And when we got into financial difficulty at a time when I was pastoring this church, and we lived down in Cheswold, and I didn't have money to pay bills for 3 months. And I remember I said, God, if you don't hear my prayers, and I laid all the bills out on the table, and I got the children to pray. And God did something. And he did something. And that's what, I tell you what, prayers is the most important thing in a Christian's life. It's the most, for you to be successful as a Christian, you better know how to pray. You better get a hold of God and pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That's when you're driving down the road, whatever you're doing, praying for one another, praying for your children, praying for protection, praying God to bless brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible says bear one another's burdens. And, you know, we have prayer meeting. We have a prayer time. And I said this, Wednesday night is the most least attended services because it's prayer. You say, well, people, the same prayer request. And I realized we could probably do it a little bit better. We could probably put them, we already know what some people's going to pray and how they're going to pray. We can probably write it down already and just go with it. But we need to spend more time in prayer. We need to spend more time talking to God and asking God for the needs. And that's one of our greatest occupations as a Christian. We have the greatest resources we have. It's like a conduit right to God. It's a conduit. And the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And a lot of times we don't pray because we get so caught up in life. So what I've had people tell me, I don't have time to pray. I'll tell you what, you better take time to pray. And the Bible tells us, Jesus said, pray. Go to Luke chapter 18. Look in Luke 18. There's so much here I want to see. And there's so much on prayer and the Word of God. And like I said, in this day and time, man, I'll tell you what, children of God need to be praying more as the days get evil. He says, Jesus talking about this, he said, and he spake a parable unto them, and to this end that men ought always to pray. Look at that. See what it says? Always to pray and not to faint. Not to faint. You ever notice when you get down to pray how hard it is? Yeah, I mean, it's harder than reading your Bible. You can get down and read your Bible, and I mean, thoughts go through your mind, but you can finally start, if you start reading out loud, what I had to do as a child of God, I had so much junk in my head, so much wickedness in my head, I had to sit down and read the Bible out loud so I could see it and hear it. And then when I prayed, I had to pray out loud so I could hear it and think about what I'm praying. You know what happens, child of God? You all prayed about many things, and then when things happen, you think, I forgot I prayed that. And see, God hadn't forgot. We pray about stuff. We go to the altar. God, use me. God, use me. So then the Lord starts doing things in your life, and you go, what are you doing? What are you doing? God says, you want me to use you? I have to get some things out of your life. You already prayed about it, and you forgot about it. Matter of fact, the Lord will sometimes remind you what you pray. Can you imagine, folks, up in heaven, the Bible says our prayers go up before the throne of God, and it says the 420 elders and with the incense, and it says with the prayer of the saints. So your prayers are going before the throne of God, and God's hearing your prayers, and all heaven, the 420 elders are listening to it, and they're praying. Why? To give you an answer. It's either yes, no, or not now. And what happens is we forget about it, and there's times, folks, I didn't even pray about things. And I just wanted them, and I never prayed about it, and God gave me the desire in my heart. I never even prayed about it. And I said, Lord, you knew that. You knew that. And thank you, Lord. And Jesus said this. He said, and he spake a parable unto them. He said, to this end that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Don't faint. What do you mean? When you're praying, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up praying for your family. Don't give up praying for your loved ones. Don't give up praying for certain things. Now, there's some prayers that we pray that the Holy Spirit of God is inside you. We saw that too. The Holy Spirit of God is inside you, making intercession for you. And the Holy Spirit is inside each and every one of us that are saved. You got the Holy Ghost of God in you. You got the Holy Ghost. 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 He's all inside you. So then the Holy Ghost, you're in there praying. You're praying all this carnal stuff. God, give me this. Oh, I want to be a millionaire. God, give me a brand new car. Give me this. Give me that. Give me that. And not one time did you pray for anybody else. Not one time did you pray somebody, God, give me some fruit that I have fruit to present to you. As a Christian, that I can give you back something. Because we're all going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ, your prayers, everything you've done since you've been saved, you're going to have to give an answer for it. You have to give an answer for it. And then the Bible tells us, look to ourselves that we have a full reward. So, and it says that you lose not that which you have wrought. And a lot of times you say, man, I've done messed up. Oh, I've done messed up. Oh, God, I'm going to lose everything. No, that ain't the case. I mean, man, God knows, and God's fair, and God's holy. And he's not the kind of God just waiting to slap you down and hurt you. And we get this idea sometimes, God's waiting to slap you down and beat the tar out of you. Sometimes I wish he would. I wish he would just knock the fire out of us. I mean, I'm talking about, Lord, you know I'm speaking as a fool now. Wouldn't it be something if we were all here in the church and all of a sudden a big old hand came in here and went, bap, smacked somebody? And we said, woo-hoo, that would put the fear of God in you. He said, I know God got him. What? And then he had stand up and said, what did God slap you for? And, you know, that's something, but God doesn't do it that way. God knows, he knows where you're at. He knows your state. He knows what you're feeling. He knows your heart. He knows your loneliness. He knows all your fears. He knows all that stuff. And all that weighs in with God. All that. It weighs in. He's just and holy and righteous. And, you know, a lot of times when we see somebody go wrong or do something bad, well, we say, God, get him, God, get him. Just kill him, God. And so we can satisfy our own ego that I prayed, God, get him. That's not the way the Lord does it. That's not the way he does it. He's holy. Because if that was the case, there wouldn't be none of us in the room. We'd all be gone. So the Bible tells us in Psalms 35, go to Psalm 35. And I told you last week we're going to talk about fasting too. Fasting, you talk about prayers hard. Fasting is even harder. But I want you to see a couple things about fasting and praying. Psalm 35. Look at Psalm 35. Psalm 35, verse 13. And like I said, we need to spend more time praying. You know why sometimes we have a lot of trouble in our lives is God's trying to get us to talk to him. He's trying to get you to fellowship with him. He's trying to talk to you. He's trying to tell you the road you're on is the wrong road. Why? You said, well, God has no right to do that. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. Don't tell me he doesn't have no right. The Bible tells us that we're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. You're a bought, paid for possession that belongs to God. Then what he does, he says, like the little boy with his lunch, he said, Lord, here, you can take it. And he multiplies it and then gives it back to you tenfold. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And God will turn around and give you back. I want more fruit in my life. And what I mean by that, I want to see more people saved. I want to see more Christians encouraged. I want to see the church to get stronger. And I know it's a battle. It's a fight. And we're going to see that in a minute. But it's a fight. And we're in a fight. Most Christians don't realize we're in a fight. You're in a fight, man. You've been in a fight. When you got saved, you've been in a fight that you've never been in before, and you don't understand it. And most Christians don't understand what's going on in their life. And they're depressed, and they're discouraged, and they don't understand what's going on. I can be by myself riding down the road and just enjoy the Lord. I can just enjoy him. And just you say, you got to have somebody with you. And most people have to have somebody with them. They got to be on Facebook. They got to be on some kind of social media. They got to be on all this stuff to try to make themselves feel good. I feel good when I'm just fellowshipping with the Lord. Yeah. Psalm 35, look at this, in verse 13. It says, but as for me, when thou were sick, where are we at? 35:13. He said, as for me, when thou was sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily, as one that mourneth for his mother. But mine adversary, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yet the objects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. With a hypocritical mockers is feasting and feasting. They gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destruction, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me. Neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they open their mouth wide against me and said, aha, aha, our eye has seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silent, O Lord. Be not far from me. Stir up thyself and wake to my judgment. He said, even unto my cause, my God and my soul, Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness. Let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, so would we have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. But let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together and that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which have pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. See that thing? Let the Lord be magnified, which have pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. That in my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness, of thy praise all the day long. That's David. When David was, he writes this psalm, when Saul was chasing him and they were trying to kill him. And David was saying, all these people are talking against me. Oh, they're saying all this stuff. They're accusing me. And I didn't do it. I was trying to do right. And I mean, Saul's chasing me. All this stuff is coming at me. God, hear my prayer. They don't want to hurt me. They want to kill me. David was in a bad way. He was in a bad way. And you know what God did? Every time David turned around, God was protecting him. God put his hand upon him. Look at Psalm 119. 109. Look at Psalm 109. Psalm 109. Look at this. This is important, folks. If Christians can get a hold of this about prayer and the time to pray, and the Bible tells you it's a time to pray. Psalm 109. Psalm 109. Look at verse 24. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them which they looked upon me. They shake their heads. Help me, O Lord God, my God. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame. Let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. I mean, you read all the way through there, David's talking about praying and seeking God, and people are attacking and going after him and all that stuff. And he said, Lord, I want to stand in the congregation and rejoice. I want to have peace. I want to be healed. Lord, I want you to do something, and I'm trusting you. And boy, I tell you, when you come to prayer and you're asking God for a need, you're asking God for something for yourself when it comes to the inner man, the peace of the inner man. And the Bible talks about the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and meekness. That's the fruit of the Spirit of God. And when a Christian's praying and they're rejoicing and thanking God, the devil and the unclean spirits that's trying to accuse you and trying to attack you and trying to destroy you, they have to flee. They have to run away. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. He says, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Now, folks, all the way through the Bible, we covered a lot of this. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. Look at Ephesians 6. Prayer is the most important occupation in a Christian's life, and that's praying all the time, praying for your job, praying for people that you talk to. I was at the junkyard on Friday, and I was telling Viola and Howard, there was a guy there named Joel. He comes to church here once in a while. And Joel's trying to win souls there, and he's trying to be a good testimony. And Joel told me, he said, preacher, pray for this guy. Billy used to work under Mr. Cannon. Mr. Cannon was a hard man. Mr. Cannon was cursing God, always saying all kinds of bad things. If he knew you were a Christian, he'd just kind of run you down. And this guy worked with him named Billy. And Joel told me, he said, he come outside when I they paid me. I came outside, and Joel said, will you do me a favor? I said, what's that? He said, see Billy over there? I said, yeah, I see him. I've been talking to him too. And he said, you pray that Billy gets saved? He said, because I told him something the other day. He said, shook him up. I said, what'd you say? He said, well, I told him. He said, I had a dream the other night, Billy, that Mr. Cannon came to me. And he said, I don't trust in dreams. But he said, Mr. Cannon came to me. He said, go tell Billy so he don't come to this place of torment. And that shook Billy. I said, Lord, we prayed right there. God save him. God save him. Now look in Ephesians 6. The Bible says when you're praying, it's the hardest time And when you start praying, you start seeking God, I'm going to tell you, all kinds of thoughts go through your mind. All kinds of junk goes through your mind. And I tell you, the best way I've learned to pray is out loud. Just out loud. When you're praying, because when you're down on your knees, all kinds of thoughts go through your mind, all kinds of junk. When you pray out loud, you can hear yourself praying, and you can stay focused. You can stay concentrated on what you're saying. And boy, I tell you what, you're heading down a path. Like I said, your prayers is like a conduit. It goes up to God. And your prayers will either be sweet in heaven or it'll stink to high heaven. And most Christians always praying for their own things that they want. And when you start praying, God, when I got saved, I remember saying, God, don't let me mess up. God, don't let me fail. God, don't let me shame you. Don't let me go back. Don't let me go. I mean, I pray that. I said, God, quicken me. I pray that. I still pray that. Still pray that. You say, why? It works. It works. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. How are you going to be strong in the Lord? You're going to be strong in the Lord by reading your Bible and by praying. You're going to be strong in the Lord by reading your Bible. Most Christians are anemic. Most Christians are sickly when it comes to when the Bible says be strong. They're sickly. They can't take any heat. They can't take any problems. If they do, as soon as the first problem comes along, I realize some Christians, you have a breaking point. And you'll go up to a place where a breaking point. And when you get to that place, I've been to that place. I've had breaking points in my life. And I've been to that place where all this stuff coming at me. And I mean, folks just hitting me, all people's problems and things happening, our own problems, our own children, our own this, and all this stuff coming at me. And the only thing I could do is go, Lord, help me. Help. I need your help. You get to that place, it's a breaking point. You go, God, help me. And the Lord steps in. You say, he's there, but he wants you to experience it. You don't think Jesus Christ was at that point? And when he was at that point, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The sin of the whole world placed upon him. But he didn't deny the Lord. And the point is, when you're going through troubles and trials in your Christian life, is not to run from them. It's not to get to the point where you just fall under it and let it overwhelm you and take over. It should bring you to a place where it brings you to your knees, and we looked at fasting. When you get to a place, you get to a place where you start saying, okay, God, this thing is more than I can bear, and I want to see you do something about it. And I'm willing to fast. I fasted over some people that have been through sickness here, been through troubles. My sister Jamie went through that operation. We fasted and prayed. God brought her through it. Fasting and praying. God will bring you through things. Look into Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. They're going to come. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. See, we're in a battle. We're in a fight. And we're wrestling. You say, how are we wrestling? You find in the book of Genesis, Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord in prayer. You wrestle in prayer. And most Christians, what they'll do is say, I didn't think it was going to be like this. I didn't think this, I just want to get out. Let me out. And they take off. And Jesus even said a hard saying to his disciples. He said, are y'all going to forsake me? Because all the disciples turned back and went. He said, and Peter said, Lord, you got the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? Where are you going to go? Run from God. You're better off standing and having a victory and having the Lord say, good job, boy. You stood when everybody else ran. Look here. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It says against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take on to you the whole armor of God. You can't do it if you don't put the armor on. The armor is the word of God. It says, wherefore, take on to you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Look what else. Look in the next verse. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, and supplication for all saints. You young couples, you're going to go through times. You're getting married, you got young couples, you're going to go through times where you're going to have a place in your life that's going to be so, you're going to come and hit a brick wall. And I'll tell you what, if you can stay united, you know, where two or three gather together in his name, there he's in the midst. If a family can stay united in prayer, they're going to come through and knock a hole through the wall. They're going to come through it or go over the wall or somehow get around the wall. If they stay united in prayer together. Take your Bible, look in Esther. Look in Esther. Back to Esther. We covered Ezra, Nehemiah. We talked about their prayer and how they prayed. And Nehemiah, if you don't understand, Ezra and Nehemiah went back to build the temple and the wall. They went back, Nehemiah prayed, and he was tore up about the wall of Jerusalem being knocked down and the temple being destroyed. And I said this a couple weeks ago, the temple in the Bible, there was two temples, and two of them, the third one's getting ready to get rebuilt. They're ready right now to build the third temple in Jerusalem. They're ready. I'm telling you, when that starts, it's going to start World War III. It's going to start it. And they're ready to do it. See, the first temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And the Jews were so cocky, so bold, they said, ain't no way, Nebuchadnezzar. God ain't going to let that happen. That's where his prayers is. That's, and Jesus said, and we covered it last week, Jesus said, you made this house, it was called the house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. Your house, your temple is a house of prayer. And the Jews were so cocky, they said, God ain't going to destroy this temple. And he destroyed it, allowed Nebuchadnezzar to destroy it. So Nehemiah and Ezra goes back to rebuild it. And then the thing gets rebuilt, and guess what? In Jesus' day, Jesus says, he said, you destroyed this temple, and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. And they said, how are you going to do that? It took 70 years for the temple to be built. How are you going to do that? They thought they were talking about the temple. He's talking about your body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in God, which God's in you, and you have of God. Your body is the temple. So what happens if Christians don't pray, and they don't serve God, and they don't dedicate this temple to God, which is holy, it's inside you, him shall God what? Destroy. God don't play games like that. It took a while before he finally destroyed the temple the first time, and then they rebuilt it. They went through all this rebuilding, all these time of being in captivity, and then here's Esther. Esther is in, she's in Persia. She's in Persia. And all of a sudden, you talking about a day that was the hardest day of the Jewish people, besides the temple being rebuilt or being destroyed. Esther, God providentially, now listen now, God providentially put Esther, that's what it's about, God put her in a position as the queen of the Persian Empire. The former queen gets kicked out. So God was setting things up. See, God, I remember when we was in the classroom, we were going through about the devil one night, and Doc said this. He said, let me tell you something. The devil's always working. But he said, let me tell you something. God's always working too. God's always countering. It said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. But see, I read the end of the book. I know who wins. We win. And you can win in this life. As a Christian, you can win if you want to. You say, well, man, it's so hard. No, it's not hard when you finally make up your mind. When you make up your mind, it's not hard. It's just routine. It's duty. It's more than that. It's a love for him. And when I made up my mind, I want to love you. I'm going to do my duty, but I want to do it because I love you. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. You love me, you'll keep my commands. I want to do it because I love him. See, over in the book of Revelation, the Lord said to the church of Ephesus, he said, I got something against you. He said, you've left your first love. Some of y'all have left your first love. Your first love should be him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. See, and what people do against you, it won't bother you. It won't affect you. So so-and-so said something about me, and so-and-so did this. Somebody in church, I mean, they wouldn't even shake my hand. It won't bother you. I do what I do because of him, because I love him. And what people talk, and people, you say, did people ever run you down? Oh, man. Did anybody ever talk about your children? Oh, yeah. You got to be kidding. Anybody ever, Ruthie called me yesterday. She was going through a time, my daughter Ruth. She was going through a time. She was venting to me. And I talked to her, and I prayed with her, and I said, now you all right, honey? She said, thank you, Daddy. She said, I'm sorry, venting. I said, no, honey, that's what I'm here for. I pray with you. She's a pastor's wife. She was venting. Folks, you're going to go through it. Now look what the Bible says in Esther. And am I on course here? Am I hitting right down the road where I should be? Are y'all getting this? You're going to go through some stuff. And you're going to go through some troubles and trials. And what you got to do is say, Lord, help me to love you. Help me to serve you. Help me to have the peace of God that passes all understanding in the midst of a storm. Here with the Jews, this is the first time when Adolf Hitler showed up in the book of Esther. Adolf Hitler showed up. His name was Haman. And Haman wanted to annihilate the Jews because of one man, Mordecai. Haman became a prince in Persia, and the king of Persia, Ahasuerus, he gave this order that whenever, actually it wasn't an order, it was a reverence. Whenever Mordecai or Haman came by, people would bow to him. And because his position. But Mordecai wouldn't honor him. Mordecai was a Jew. And Mordecai, every time he came by, everybody's going, oh, Haman. And Haman, and they saw Mordecai, and Mordecai wouldn't do it. And Mordecai said, I'm not going to worship any man. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to bow down to them. So he didn't do it. And Haman got so mad, he decided, I'm going to have this Jew killed, but I'm going to wipe out his whole race because I don't even like the Jews. Sound like Adolf Hitler. And this guy, he gets the king to sign a decree, and he says, hey, king, here, look, I'll tell you what, there's a people that they go against our customs as a people, and they won't worship the God that we serve. And let me tell you something, king, if you'll just sign a decree, he said, I'll put my money where my mouth is. I'll put it in the king's treasury. And he said, if you'll just sign this decree, we'll just wipe out this whole bunch and get rid of them. And the king says, sounds good to me. He said, and back then you said, could that happen? Oh, yeah. A whole nation, a whole people, a race of people would have been wiped out. And the Bible says he was over 127 provinces. That means he was a ruler of the known world. Ruler. Guess what? Guess who's going to show up? You had Haman. It always comes in threes, right? You had Haman, Adolf Hitler, and the next guy come along is what? Antichrist. Comes in threes. He's going to try to wipe out the Jews completely. Why? 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 Because they're jealous of them. They make money. They have the ability. Guess what? The devil hates you too.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. He hates you. And why? Because you're God's child. Yeah. You belong to God. Guess what? The Jews were God's chosen people. That doesn't mean they're going to heaven if they're not saved. But they're God's chosen people. You are God's children. And the Lord loves you, and the devil hates you, and he wants to annihilate you. So Esther is in the queen's, or in the palace, and look at verse chapter 4, and look at verse 13. Esther, she says, and Mordecai says this, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Esther sends one of her chamberlains to him. It was like a servant, but he was a higher servant. And she sends and says, why is Mordecai in sackcloth and ashes? Why is he down there praying like that? Why is he crying out, making such a scene? Why is he doing it? But see, Esther didn't tell nobody she was a Jew. She didn't tell nobody she was. And then Mordecai reveals to her that Haman got the king to sign a decree which cannot be changed. When the king took his ring off, and this is the way they did it. He made a decree. They made it, and the king took his ring, and they put it in ink, and he sealed it. That means it was done. They're going to die. And they're going to kill him on the 12th month. He said, the whole province, be ready. On the 12th month, the Jews that are in our province, wherever they are, hundreds of thousands, maybe in the millions, said, you can kill them all, and whoever kills them gets their possessions, their houses, their land, everything, but wipe them all out. That was Haman's decree. And the king signed it and put his hand to it. And so Esther's going, what in the world? She didn't even hear it. She didn't know. Look at this. Look at verse 13. It says, Mordecai commanded and answered Esther, thinkest thou not thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews? For thou altogether hold thy peace at this time. Then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Mordecai believed God that much that if Esther didn't do it, and he said, God's got you there for a reason. If you don't do it, God's going to do it some other way. That's how much trust and faith he had in God. Look what happens. And it says, and there shall enlargement and deliverance arise in the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And let me say this about that such a time as this. We preached, our youth rally was called that. You know, God's got us in a position. He's got you in a place right now for such a time as this. I believe we're at the late Laodicean church age. I believe we're about ready if the Lord come back. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. I believe the Lord's got us in a place that we can serve him. But what happens? The late Laodicean church age is asleep. They want to go to sleep. They're just kind of doing their own thing and getting away from God. And the Lord's relying on us not to be asleep like his disciples. He came to his disciples in such a time when he was fasting and praying. And he came to them and they were dead asleep. And he says, why couldn't you watch for an hour? I mean, folks, if there's something to that, an hour? Couldn't you not watch for an hour? 1 hour is about, according to the Word of God, if the time is right, it's about 45 years. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. He said, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And Esther bade him, and bade them return on Mordecai and this answer. Go and gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and it says, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, nights, night and day. And I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. It's a life or death situation. She said, if I die going in or asking the king for a request, I perish, I perish. So she goes in and she asks the king, you all know the answer that came, and Esther gets her answer to prayer, and then when she tells the king what Mordecai did, and the Bible says the king sent out had Mordecai hung on the same gallows that he built for Mordecai, had Haman hung on the same gallows that he had built for Mordecai. And God answered prayer, but through fasting and prayer. I'm going to say this. If you're going to pray about something, you got a loved one, I'd suggest if you got a loved one lost, what about fasting and praying for their soul? Why? Because the Bible says, what shall a man gain? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You can't buy a soul. And the Bible says, yet one soul is worth all the world. Here we are in the last days. People are dropping like flies. And Christians are praying less than they ever have. when it's the most serious time between life and death. Your loved ones. I told somebody the other day, I said, we was praying. My dad went into a coma. I was praying for my dad. And my dad got saved. And I wanted to talk to my dad before he died. And I got a call. I was in Wilmington working at the school up there. And I was working on school, and my boss, I got a call. And I said, my dad's about ready to die. My sister called. He's in the hospital. And she said, and then she called and said, he's in a coma. And I said, it was a Wednesday night. I don't like to miss church. And I said, I told Linda and the kids, be ready. We're going down to see Grandpa. My children went. And we went in there. My dad was in a coma. And I told the kids, Papa, Dad, what are we going to do? He's in a coma. And I said, let's all get down and pray. And we got down in the room, my mother, my sister, all of us, we got down and prayed. And I told you this last week, I believe. And we got down and prayed and asked God to bring him out of the coma just so we could say goodbye. You know what the Lord did? Within 5 minutes, he came out of the coma. We all went by the bed, said goodbye. And I told my dad, I said, Daddy, you're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. You don't have to fear that. I said, the hands are going to try to reach out to grab you, but you don't have to fear. Here I was, a son, instructing my father that he didn't have to worry. Everything was going to be all right. Yeah. And boy, I tell you what, my dad looked at me and said, thank you, son. I'm proud of you. I wish I was the man you were. God did something. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Prayer changes things. God meets needs by the strangest ways. God's people, he said, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we quote it all the time. If my people, we're talking about the Jews, but we can claim it. We can claim it as a church. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. If we'll seek God. If we'll seek God with all our heart. I can show you prayers in the Bible. Solomon. Solomon prayed. David prayed. All these people prayed. I can show you all these prayers. Take your Bible, look in Daniel chapter 10. Said, well, I prayed. God hadn't answered my prayer yet. Well, it might be something going on in the atmosphere. You know what people do? They'll pray for so long, and then they give up. They'll pray about something, and they'll quit. You know what? God hadn't forgotten what you prayed. God hadn't forgot. God still got it recorded. You know, the Bible says every idle word a man should speak, even what you're speaking in truth and what you're praying about is written down in heaven. God writes it down. He's got books. Can you imagine you sitting in heaven and the Lord says, and you say, well, Lord, why? Why did I? And the Lord says, come here, let me show you something. Have a seat for 1,000 years here. Look here, son. Remember what you prayed here? This is such and such date at 2 a.m. in the morning. You asked me to do this for you. You quit praying. You quit asking. But I didn't forget. See what I did here? And the Lord starts showing you your whole life. And then have him look at you like he did Simon Peter. He said, you love me, right? I've had dreams about that. I've had dreams where the Lord looked me in the eyes and say, you love me, right? I said, Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord. That's why I'm going to serve you. See, we're in a battle. And the battle is going to rage. At times, it's going to be, you're going to have times it'll be backed off. It's not always going to be a rage. But in Daniel chapter 10, it gives you insight of what's going on. Here we are, Daniel chapter 10, look at verse 7. Look at Daniel 7. And I want you to remember this. There's so many things about prayer I wanted to cover today. The Bible says about Cornelius in the book of Acts. How many of y'all remember Cornelius in the book of Acts? You know what Cornelius was? He was an Italian Gentile, a Roman soldier. And Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, Peter was sent to him to tell him about Jesus Christ. And he said, the angel told him, he said, we heard your prayers in heaven. He said, matter of fact, your prayers are a memorial. Now, if God makes somebody's prayers a memorial, that's saying something, brother. This guy prayed so much and sought God so much that he even helped the Jews. He did whatever he could. He was a soldier. Don't tell me that people, because you pray, you become a sissy. I'm going to tell you something. I look at man as a prayer. We say he's a warrior. He's a warrior. He's a soldier. The way we fight, put on the whole armor of God. We fight on our knees. We're fighting God. Not fighting against God, but fighting for God. Fighting against the wiles of the devil. Look in Daniel chapter 10, look at verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision. But behold, quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. And there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness were turned in me into corruption. He says, and I retained no strength, yet heard I a voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face towards the ground. There it is, being on the face before God. Behold, a hand touched me and said, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee. Stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. From the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, look what he says, chasten thyself. That's fasting. Who's he fasting for? Daniel's in captivity under Nebuchadnezzar. He goes all the way up through the Persian Empire. There's Queen Esther. There's Queen Esther there in the Persian Empire. And Daniel is fasting and praying. Look what it says. He says, O Daniel, greatly beloved, verse 11, understand the words I speak unto thee. Stand upright. And look at verse 12. And then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, the archangel, Michael of the chief princes came to help me, and I remain there with the kings of Persia. This is a spiritual battle going on, folks. It's in the atmosphere. This thing's going on up there. He said, an angel's telling him, I came to answer your prayer, Daniel, but I was held up 21 days by the prince of Persia. He said, but Michael came. And he's like, remember the Pony Express? Michael came and freed the word up so I could bring it to you. There's something going on in the atmosphere, folks. When your prayers are going up, they're trying to be stopped. Or you know what the devil knows? Just like any army knows. Any army knows this. If you want to defeat your enemy, you cut off the supply line. When the Bible says prayers and supplication be made for all men, supply line. Most Christians don't get that. They don't understand when we pray, I mean, man, we're going trying to get supplies through that God will meet the need. Sometimes they're held up. Sometimes they don't come through unless you say, God, I'm willing, fast and pray, God, get a hold of them. God, I need you. I need you, Lord. I need this answer. I'm amazed how people don't pray about nothing. They just do it. And they say, oh, preacher, I got this job over there. I'm going to take this job. And I said, have you prayed about it? Oh, yeah, no, you don't understand. It's more money. See, then that's your, you think you're, that's your answer. You, I don't move, I don't move according to money. You don't move according to money. Most Christians just stay in time, so Laodicea, so carnal, we move according to, oh, I need the money. Oh, that's good money. I got to have the money. You don't consider the consequences. What is it going to cost you in the long run? It might cost your family. It might cost everything. So you can get more money? So you can go around and say, I made this money! What do you got to show for it? Nothing. I ain't got nothing to show for it. But if God gives it to you, you have something to show for it.
Amen.
I'm amazed how many Christians will not move according to God's word, according to the fear of God. They'll move according to money. They think that's the answer. If God get money, that means God's blessed me. Not always. Not always. Look here. Let's read on down. Is this boring, you guys? If it's boring you, we're going to quit. Look here. And when he had spoken, verse 15, such words unto me, I set my face towards the ground, and I became dumb. Sometimes you get down before God, and you don't even say nothing. Because the Bible says there's a groaning inside you. There's a groaning. And you get down. I don't know how many times I've prayed and just been a groaning. I said, God. It says, like the son, it says, verse 16, behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. And he opened my mouth and said, spake and said unto me, unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision of my sorrow are turned upon me. I have retained no strength. How can I, the servant of this my Lord, talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man. And he strengthened me. Remember, Jesus got strengthened by an angel after 40 days and 40 nights. He said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be with thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. And he said, let my words speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am going forth, the prince of Grecia shall come. And I will show thee that which is noted in the scriptures of truth. There is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. So the Lord's giving you a little insight of when your prayers go up, there's a battle that takes place to get the answer back. I remember Jack Hiles said one time, I went to hear Jack Hiles, and Jack Hiles was preaching. He said, what we have is a conduit to God. He said, we send our prayers up, and the devil tries to stop it from coming back. So we'd be defeated or discouraged. When General MacArthur left the Philippines, he said, I shall return. Those men went through the death march. They went through hell. A lot of men died. But Truman fought with Washington and kept his word and returned to save the Philippine Islands. They tell me over in the Philippines, you mentioned Douglas MacArthur, or not Truman, Douglas MacArthur, that's who it was. Douglas MacArthur, they said, you mentioned his name, he's a great man. Why? He was true to his words. When Jesus said, he said, I'll go away, but I'll give you a comforter. And that comforter is the Holy Ghost. And I will return. I'm telling you, folks, we have a prayer line. We have a lifeline. I mean, folks, we got a conduit to God. And boy, we don't use it. Or when we do use it, we just use it for selfish means. When you can line up and say, not my will, but thine be done, oh God. Not my will, because your will, your we'd all go astray. We all, the flesh is flesh. We would all turn our back. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. Death or life situation. We've come down, folks. There's children that ride these buses. There's Sunday school teachers. There's people that come to church. It's a death or life situation when it comes to their soul. We need to be praying. We need to be seeking God. We need to pray, God, give us souls. Help us to win people. Help us to have an attitude all the time, just praying all the time for people to get saved. Encourage the saints. I want to encourage you to spend more time in prayer. I want to encourage you. I could go through a bunch of other things. We ain't got time. But, I mean, the church was praying in Acts chapter 12 for Peter. Peter was put in jail. And God shook the jail. And Peter went out free. So that was in the Acts of the Apostles. I've seen God do miracles, folks. I've seen God answer prayer. I've seen God do plenty in my lifetime. I've seen God raise people up. I've seen a lot of things. It makes me want to pray more. Are you with me? Are we going to pray, Faith Baptist Church? Are we going to seek God? Are we going to continue? Or are we just going to fall by the wayside? And when troubles come, are we going to run? Or are we going to be strong? The angel come down and said, be strong. Be strong. We need to be strengthened. Strength comes from the Word of God. Can't strength come through prayer? Are we going to do it? Are we going to be here when the Lord comes back? Or is this church going to be self or antique shop? Are we going to serve God? Are young couples, are the people that's going astray, are they going to have a farm to come back to? Jimmy Chandler preached that message on, don't sell the farm. It's not going to last if we don't pray, if we don't seek God. We need God more than ever right now. Families are being under attack. Children are being under attack. Everywhere we turn, people are being attacked. We need to pray. Young couples getting married need to pray. Life or death situation. She said, she made up her mind, if I perish, I perish. But she fasted and prayed. Are we going to pray? We're going to seek God. Ask God to help our church, help our brothers and sisters. I get down on my knees every night praying for my family, my children, church family, churches all over this country. I don't want to be selfish. I want to pray for all the churches that believe the book. God bless them. Help them see souls saved. I don't want to be that selfish person, just my church. No. I want to see other people saved as well. And other churches go stronger. I want to try to do my part to try to encourage them, strengthen them. Let's pray. Esther, if you come, play. My Father, I love you. I thank you allowing us to have that lifeline. God, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. And my Father, we ask to miss a lot of times according to our lust, things that we want. But I pray, God, help us to get in tune with you. Help our hearts. When Daniel prayed, he was praying for the nation of Israel. He was praying for the people. But God, I pray, help our hearts to get in tune. And Lord, you said, I must be about my Father's business. If we're about your business, you'll take care of our business. We don't have to play the lottery. We don't have to go try to chase the almighty dollar that might crash and might burn. And you said in Matthew, you said, give us this day our daily bread. We've never had to really pray about that. God, but we ought to be praying over our food. You bless America. And God, we're riding on the coattails of the founders of our country. God, you have blessed America. But America now is not blessing you. Oh, my Father, thank you for a president that says, God bless America. Oh, my Father, I pray, God, please. Lord, there's a fear. Going, Father, worrying about what might happen to this country. What might happen with North Korea? What might happen with Iran? What might happen with Israel? And God, I know all that's in your hands. You know. I pray, God, help us to trust you. I pray for our children. God, that when they have children themselves, that they would want to raise their children like they were raised for your glory and honor. They wouldn't want to raise them like a bunch of heathen. God, I pray, Father, for Faith Baptist Church, God, that we would be here serving, even whether I'm here or not, where this church would be still faithful to the word of God. So when you show up, Lord, you'd be pleased with it. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around. You need to come this morning.